Chapter 26. "Come now, everybody has a price," said King Johann. "Surely the brave men and women of the Heroes Guild stand ready to take up their swords and staves when the clarion call goes out."
"As I've said multiple times, sire, I cannot deploy heroes without paying them."
Weaver Ortson pointed at the offending pieces.
"These assumptions move beyond optimism into folly."
Below the guildmaster's accusing finger, Mount Windspar's dramatic topology was cast in ink and watercolor. The huge map covered the oak table that occupied the majority of Johann's war room. Hundreds of tiny painted blocks were arrayed along the thin blue lines that marked Andoran's walls and ramparts. Each block was painted with the livery of the bannermen that it represented, save for those gold or silver-plated pieces that stood for parties of professional heroes. Arrayed against the cubicle forces were myriad cylinders set in purple, green, and white, the undead.
"Unless we find sufficient gold in the kingdom's coffers, we won't have nearly as many heroes as you presume."
Weaver plucked a few gold cubes from the front lines and set them off to the side.
"Those bannermen can't hold the gates without heroes backing them up, Majesty," said General Gergen. "We'll need professional heroes of at least the fourth rank, and that's not even talking about those that are to face the Lich."
"I don't disagree, but you won't have such heroes unless you pull them from another rampart."
Ortson avoided looking directly at the general. Dark lesions spread from her throat and up across her face. The wounds bore grim testament to the horrors of Gergen's escape from Highwatch.
"The kingdom doesn't have the coin to hire that many heroes."
"They'll work for loot, of course," snorted Johann, placing the pieces back in place on the map. "Ha! That's how professional heroics works!"
"Loot is where they make their fortune, sire, but there's no guarantees in plunder these days, and most heroes aren't willing to risk their lives and their estates in the same go."
Ortson reached for the pieces again, but paused when he caught the king's eye. The guildmaster cleared his throat and tried to explain.
"Loot alone can't attract top talent. Modern quests pay an upfront wage, plus a stipend for housing, equipment, and other expenses."
"Ha! Are you serious? Aberyth has fallen for Tando's sake. The Lich will be on our doorstep soon," Johann insisted. "Surely they must understand our current circumstances."
"Indeed, sire," said Ortson, dabbing his brow. "They're demanding hazard pay."
"You're joking." The king's laughter faded as he noticed the somber faces around the table. "You're not joking."
"After the incident at Highwatch, good heroes are in short supply, sire. Other cities are luring the remaining ones away by paying for their defense up front," said Ortson. "Knife Vale is offering exorbitant rates, and our adventurers have taken notice. If we want heroes to defend Andoran, we must pay them a premium."
"We wouldn't with proper leadership in the guild." Johann's grin was somewhere between a smile and a snarl. "The bannermen have missed their last paycheck, and they're still planning a vigorous defense of the city."
"Actually, I've been wanting to ask you about that, sire," interjected General Gergen.
"The point is, there are more ways to motivate people than money," snapped the king. "There had better be. Ha! You all know the kingdom's coffers are empty. We've spent just about every last gilton propping up the thrice-cursed banks after their fiasco with the threat indexes. Perhaps the Heroes Guild should front the bill for our city's defense."
"Our coffers are just as empty, sire," said Ortson miserably. "We've had to pay out on many of our own threat obligations. The banks bought too many for our accounts to keep up."
All eyes turned to Goldson, Baggs, and several other bankers standing at the far end of the table. Bowlby Baggs choked on his pipe at the sudden attention, sending dark clouds billowing over the miniature city.
"I think you may be forgetting the dire straits the financial institutions of Arth find themselves in, Majesty,"
said Fenrir Goldson.
"All that money had to have gone somewhere," said Ortson.
"Not at all, Mr. Ortson," Goldson
growled through gritted teeth.
"Not every gilton is a coin. Most of them are numbers in ledgers.
But they're still there, said Ortson.
Goldson shook his head.
If we built a house that fell into the sea, where would the money go? If we bought fertilizers for a crop of grain that burned away, which of us would have the gold? We all invested in security, ladies and gentlemen, every one of us. And as the sea can wash away a building, or the flames scour a crop, the undead have destroyed our investment.
You took the money, though, pressed General Gergen.
And what do you think we did with it? Snapped Bags. We bought CTOs as well. We hedged our obligations with other banks' obligations, and they with us. Now that your guild has failed to control the threat indexes, all of the gold is wrapped up in broken promises and meaningless assurances.
And salaries. And bonus funds, said Johan. The paladin was smiling, but the grin put Ortson in mind of a swamp drake. Predatory and dangerous. Goldson's gaze was steely and unflinching as he stared back at the king and his advisers. With a deep breath and shaking hands, the ancient dwarf picked up a few silver and gold pieces from the side of the table and tossed them onto the map.
I suppose our senior teams could forego their annual bonuses this year, he rasped. Given the circumstances, said Bags.
That's the spirit, laughed Johan. Everybody pulling together under a common threat. Ortson saw Goldson and Bags exchange a dark glance, and he knew their sentiment. Threats were becoming increasingly common for anyone in charge of Andoran's institutions, especially veiled ones delivered by the king himself.
This many heroes will help, but our defenses are still full of holes, muttered General Gergen, arranging the new pieces on the city map. It's still not enough to guarantee the walls will hold.
It will be enough, said Johan. He pulled a small block from his belt pouch and placed it at the fore of the army. It was a small cube wrought in gold and red velvet, with a star embossed on its surface.
Sire? Asked the general.
I alone will fight the Lich, said Johan. General Gergen shook her head.
Sire, after what happened to King Handor,
General, I'm the only man who's ever defeated Datar Ermion. Johan shot her a confident smile, pausing for a moment to let the light gleam on his perfect teeth. I'm the only one who can take his head again. Ha! The king's advisors looked at each other, making no effort to hide their obvious concern. Weaver Ortson wondered what would possess any man to fight a lich alone. Then his eyes caught Johan's, and he saw it lurking behind the king's persistent smile.
It's madness, said Heraldin. This whole plan is crazier than an Almatran hymnal.
Shush, hissed Gorm, peering out through the thick brush.
Down the embankment he could see Gaist in the role of Gorst, standing with a small group of recruits for the Red Horde. The recruiters had led the assorted Shadowkin to a small pond north of Dunhelm, where they stopped by a ruined stone wall with an odd gap in the middle.
I'm not going to say this was a bad idea, whispered Heraldin.
The less you say, the better, said Gorm.
And I'm not going to remind you that I told you this wouldn't work.
I'm pretty sure you just did, Gorm grumbled.
The bard had been voicing similar concerns since they'd used Jin's tracking spell to follow the Red Horde's newest recruits from Andoran. Now that they had crept to within 50 yards of the Shadowkin, the bard was in the middle of a hushed panic attack.
It's just that we did recently risk life and limb to save Gaist. Not half a week ago, you'll recall. And now we've sent him and Bert to act as bait for a murderous army of invaders.
They're fine, sighed Katha, peering toward the idle Shadowkin. They're just sitting by the pond.
As they have been for quite some time, said Jin.
Gorm could see Bert sitting on Gorst's shoulder, idly kicking his feet.
Aye, this is awfully long for a water break.
Maybe they're planning to meet the Red Horde here, suggested Laruna.
Gods, I hope not, said Gorm. If the Red Horde's base ain't close, we won't have enough time to make it back to Andoran.
Does the Red Horde even have a base? Said Heraldin.
There are splinter groups all over the Freedlands.
Aye,
but the biggest group of them by far is said to be traveling with the Gizvarda. That's why they had Char's picture up, said Gorm. And one of the recruiters Bert found was Gabrang, our old friend from the Gizvarda tribe. With any luck, we'll find a big cluster of the Red Horde and at least a couple of friendly faces in the bunch.
You're counting on a lot of good fortune, said Heraldin. Not to mention the goodwill of the Shadowkin, added Jin.
Which is unfortunate, as they hate us, said Heraldin.
We ain't got the luxury of anything better, said Gorm.
Hush, hissed Caitha. Look!
The stones bordering the gap in the ruined wall sputtered and sparked. Azure flames flared in old runes, engulfing ancient mosses and lichens as they blazed up the sides of the stones. The magical energy raced beyond the last stones in the wall as they traced an archway that must have stood there in ages past. They met at the top, and a shimmering doorway blinked into existence.
Bones! It's one of them waygates, said Gorm.
How could they create one of that size? Asked Laruna.
They didn't, said Jin. It was made by whomever was on the other side. He pointed to the faint, blurry figures moving beyond the static sheen of the waygate.
The orcs are moving through, said Heraldin, pointing. Below, the recruiters in their charges had formed a line, and one by one they stepped into the portal. Bert was glancing around nervously as he rode toward the waygate on the doppelganger's shoulder.
Bones again, swore Gorm, hopping to his feet. Come on!
But we don't know where they're going, protested the bard as the other heroes followed.
We had better find out, 'cause we can't afford to lose 'em.
Gorm leapt through the bushes and slid down the embankment. The other heroes fell in behind him, cursing as they slipped in the loose gravel. Ahead of him, Gaste and Bert winked away. Only the two recruiters remained.
Hurry!
Gorm shouted. Caitha passed him, sprinting across the field. The orc and Noel, alerted by Gorm's shout, stared in wide-eyed surprise at the adventurers sprinting toward them. The elf was almost upon them before they scrambled through the waygate, and she leapt through after them.
Wait!
Gorm sprinted for the waygate, but the dwarven physique is built for holding ground, not covering it quickly. His arms and legs pumped like pistons in a gnomish engine, but he was still a ways away as the glowing line around the doorway began to waver and close.
No! Not again!
Gorm's muscles burned and his lungs heaved, but with a final jump he managed to fling himself through the shimmering portal. Passing through the waygate gave Gorm the sensation of stepping through a summer breeze, followed closely by the sensation of slamming into a surprised elf's back. He and Caitha tumbled into the loose, smooth gravel of a rocky beach. The scent of salt and pungent seaweed assaulted his nostrils as he righted himself. The perplexed recruits stood in a ring around the waygate, but beyond them were ranks of veteran Red Horde soldiers. Shadowkin of every race and size stared in surprise at the dwarf and elf untangling themselves on the shore. A moment later, the mages and the bard spilled through the portal just before it winked out of existence.
Hello,
Gorm said, raising an empty hand into the air.
I suppose this doesn't look too good.
The only reply was the steely whisper of hundreds of swords and axes being unsheathed.
Kill them!
Ashurzu was startled from her charts by a cry on the edge of her hearing. If she strained her ears, she could just make out a commotion coming from down by the beach. The raucous sounds were growing in volume and intensity, and she could see a few whelps and knoll pups running into the camp. Hurriedly, she packed her research away. There was already a mob in the center of camp by the time Ashurzu donned her beads and rushed from her hut. Red Horde warriors shouted with jubilation and wrath in equal measure, and they hurled insults and the occasional rock at someone in the middle of the throng. Orcs, goblins, and gnolls hollered and howled threats. Amid the fighters' cries for blood and justice, the shouts of a familiar voice rang out in the tongue of the lightlings,
"Don't fight back! Raise a weapon and we're done for!"
The dwarven brogue had burned itself into Ashurzu's memory.
"Gorm Ingerson?" she gasped.
She glimpsed him through the masses, a bruised and bloodied face amid the screaming Shadowkin. The other lightlings from his party were there as well, bearing their punishment with determined stoicism. The dwarf's face lit up as his eye caught hers.
"Lady Ashurzu!" he shouted. "I've come in peace! I've a way to save your tribe and restore them to oomph!
An armored elbow to the ribs cut Gorm off. The orc closest to him growled something that was lost in the screams of the mob.
"Let him speak!"
Ashurzu screamed. Some of the warriors in the mob fell silent, but now shouting Shadowkin from all throughout the village were surrounding the throng.
"Let him speak!"
she called again in the tongue of the lightlings.
"Yes, let the chieftain speak!"
cried a foul voice behind her. Ashurzu turned to see Grignot practically dancing his way to the front of the crowd. Darek loomed behind him, looking over the crowd's heads at the lightlings.
"Your honor!"
Gorm Ingerson had found his lungs again.
"We come in peace! We've await peace!"
Grignot shrieked, a cruel grin flashing amid his straggly beard.
"You dogs who betrayed the Gizvarda for blood gold, and now you mule for peace? Ha! The great chieftain Darek Daz Gizvarda laughs at your feeble words!"
Darek was not laughing. His face was completely devoid of mirth, or warmth, or anything but the murder that flashed in his dark eyes. The dwarf kept shouting, hints of desperation creeping into his voice.
"It was all a misunderstanding! The guild tricked us as well! We never meant any of that to happen, but now—"
But now the rest of the Shadowkin were shouting as well, and any point the dwarf might have made was washed away in a tide of jeers. Ashurzu's mind was racing. Any message the dwarf brought could be another trap by the Heroes Guild, but then why would Gorm and the others be wanted as criminals? Besides, the guild didn't need a pretext for killing the orcs anymore. If they had sent Ingerson here, they could have and would have sent more powerful heroes to wipe out the tribe. Not that they'd need to. Ashurzu had heard about how Gorm Ingerson and his party had battled a lich to retrieve the burial stones of Og Magurd, and she had believed it. And any Shadowkin in the Freedlands had heard of the Jade Wind and the Pyrebeard. Their deadly reputations had been one of the hardest things for Xerthraka to overcome when convincing her tribe to trust them the first time. The heroes in the throng were more than capable of defending themselves, yet they were clearly opting not to. There was a chance the dwarf was telling the truth, a chance that the only heroes wily enough to recover the burial stones were still the heroes who had listened to and befriended the Shadowkin. And with that chance came the slim hope that Gorm Ingerson had found a way to restore her tribe to her father's path, if the Shadowkin would only listen to him. Darek shouted for his warhammer, a roar that rang out over the Red Horde's bloodthirsty calls.
"No!"
Ashurzu ran to place herself between the chieftain and the prisoners.
"No, my brother, let the dwarf speak,"
she pleaded in shadow tongue. Darek reared back as though from a venomous snake.
"What are you doing?"
he growled under his breath. His eyes darted back and forth among the mob of Shadowkin like a cornered animal.
"Do you not see where we are?"
"I have seen posters, brother, back in the guild hall of the Lightling town we raided," Ashurzu blurted. "I saw posters about Gorm Ingerson and his warband. They were wanted by the Goldhounds as well. They may not have betrayed us." "The people grow impatient," said Grignot, tapping his foot.
"These are the dogs that befriended you only to try to kill you," hissed Darek. "The tribe is calling for their blood. If ever there was a simple decision for a chieftain, here it is. And yet you still see fit to try to complicate everything. And in doing so, you shame me in front of the entire tribe."
"This is not about you and I, Darek," said Ashurzu. "This is about our people's survival. This is about the life our tribe longs for."
Pain flashed in the huge orc's eyes, and it left grim determination behind.
"If it isn't about family or honor, I have no time for it."
The chieftain extended his hand, and his massive warhammer was placed in it by a pair of young warriors. Without another word, he stepped around Ashurzu and strode toward the dwarf and his companions with dark purpose.
"Darek!"
Ashurzu called after her brother's back, but he would not turn from his task. Fear and anger and desperation welled up within her, and it all burst out in a sentence that surprised even her.
"I challenge you!"
A hush fell over the Shadowkin who could speak the old tongue. Darek froze.
"I challenge you,"
Ashurzu said again, this time in the tongue of lightlings. Her mind was racing and her pulse was keeping pace, but she squared her shoulders.
I challenge you for the throne of our tribe.
Darek said nothing. He just turned to stare at her with the eyes of a man run through, his jaw clenching to hide its quivering.
The beach,
he rasped, pointing his warhammer. Grignot's lips twisted into a wicked grin.
To the beach, he shrieked. The great chieftain will defend his throne before he takes the heads of the Barg Hegas Benixest.
Ashurzu nodded, her eyes never leaving her brother's.
So be it, she said.
So what happens now?
Katha muttered to Bert.
They fight it out, said the kobold from Gorm's shoulder.
He shifted and swayed to keep balance as the dwarf negotiated the loose stones of the beach.
The winner gets to decide what happens to us.
Of course it's trial by combat, said Katha. It's always trial by combat.
And I suppose the elves do it better?
The ember of Bert's thin cigarette glowed brighter as he puffed at it.
Teach us, savage Shadowkin, the right way to settle a matter?
I'm just saying there has to be better qualifications for leadership than a talent for killing people.
Yeah, like maybe whoever's parents are a bigger deal, or maybe whoever has the most money. Oh wait, those are almost always the same thing.
The kobold clapped his paws to his cheeks in mock surprise. Let's just focus on surviving to our execution, said Heraldin. The Red Horde soldiers around them leered and snarled. Orcs and goblins were arranging a circle of barrels and logs down by the icy sea. Uncounted orcs, slaw, gnolls, and other shadowkin gathered where the rocky beach's slopes formed a natural amphitheater. The gnarled sea-bleached trees that dotted the shore brimmed with goblins, kobolds, and orcish children perched in neat rows like buzzards. From their vantage point near the front of the crowd, Gorm watched the orc chieftain step over a log into the combat circle. The massive orc carried a warhammer with a thick, rune-covered shaft and a head like a boulder. The crimson beads and painted skulls hanging from his long chin-strap beard swayed as he stalked into the ring. He screamed something in shadow tongue over the crowd as Ashurzu stepped forward.
What's he saying? Gorm whispered to Bert.
He's angry she's challenging him, Bert hollered into Gorm's ear. He says she's bringing dishonor to him and their name by standing against her brother.
Ashurzu wore a flowing dress of lilac and golden yellow. Against her emerald skin, the silks reminded Gorm of a bouquet of spring lilies. Her braids were topped with yellow and orange beads, and her hands toyed with a holy symbol that she wore around her neck.
Is that an icon of Fulgen? Asked Laruna.
As much as I can tell. Jin shielded his eyes as he peered across the beach. What do we know about Ashurzu?
She's Athraka's daughter. We met her back in Bloodroot, said Gorm. And now she's standing up for us. That's all that matters right now.
That and the fact that she's clearly outmatched, said Heraldin. The slight orcus was dwarfed by the massive warrior facing her. She raised her hand and spoke. Gorm couldn't understand the shadow tongue, but he could see that whatever she said was calm, level, and presumably upsetting, given her brother's reaction.
What was that?
Gorm said to the kobold.
She's saying she doesn't wish him dishonor, but the Gizvarda tribe and all the Red Horde need a new direction.
Bert's ears perked up and twitched as he listened.
And that's made him pretty angry, because he's saying, oh.
Darek launched into a spittle-streaked litany of guttural shouts as he gestured angrily at Gorm and his followers.
Now he's saying it's your fault for turning her against him, and that when this foolishness is over, he's going to... Wait, what?
Bert bounced to his feet and waved a fist at the orc chieftain.
Yeah, come over here and say that, you overgrown lump of...
Hush! Hissed Gorm. Katha and Jin leapt to pull the agitated kobold down from the dwarf's shoulder.
What do you think you're doing?
He was talking about me,
snarled Bert.
Oh, I knew the doppelganger should have stayed disguised as an orc. Now they think I'm one of you.
That may be, but there's too much at stake to go shooting off your mouth at every insult, snapped Gorm,
helping the kobold step back up to his perch.
Wait a minute.
I thought you were one of us,
demanded Laruna, giving voice to the revelation that was striking the other adventurers in turn.
Well, yeah, but to you,
said the kobold, scrambling to gain purchase on Gorm's pauldron again.
Not to them.
That doesn't make any sense, said Caitha.
Trust me, it does, said Bert. Now be quiet, they're starting.
Ashurzu planted her feet, and the crowd of Shadowkin fell silent.
I am Ashurzu, sister to Char Gizvarda, second daughter and fourth child of Zerthraka Gizvarda.
Why is she talking like that? Gorm asked Bert.
She's using her lineage to establish her right to lead.
No, I mean, why is she talking in the Imperial tongue?
Oh, the whole Red Horde's watching the challenge. Most of them grew up as NPCs.
Bert waved a hand at the assembled Shadowkin.
The Gizvarda orcs may have kept their traditions well, but I'd bet half of the Horde doesn't speak three words of Shadow Tongue, not to mention all the goblin dialects and such. I challenge you for the right to wield the Gizvarda tribe,
Ashurzu finished. Darek listened sullenly, his eyes avoiding her for the entire speech. Ashurzu had barely finished speaking when he shouted,
I am Darek Dazgizvarda, son of Zerthraka, brother to Char. I am chieftain of the Gizvarda tribe and leader of the Red Horde. All that wear crimson in this camp or scattered across the land bend their knee to me. No champion will stand for me.
Only then did the chieftain turn to his sister, staring her down with bloodshot eyes.
Now, let your champion come forward, that we may end this farce.
No champion will stand for me,
Ashurzu shouted. There was a sound like a rushing wind as the assembled crowd gasped in unison.
Wait, what? Said Laruna.
What is she doing? Said Gorm.
Nobody looked more surprised or dismayed by Ashurzu's announcement than her opponent. Darek's face contorted in confusion and despair.
You must name a champion, he shouted. I will not fight you unarmed.
Ashurzu deliberately drew a small knife, held it up for the crowd, and dropped her arm to hold the weapon at her hip.
It is done. I am your opponent. May honor choose the victor.
No,
said Darek, shaking his head. He held his warhammer up like a shield, backing away from his sister as she approached.
No, I do not want to fight you. Do not make me do this.
You do not have to fight me, Darek,
Ashurzu said.
You never wished to grow the chieftain's beard. You wanted to fight for father, and then for Char.
Do not make me do this,
groaned Darek.
Set aside your pride. Do what you know is best, and lay down your weapon.
Ashurzu continued, striding toward him.
Remember the teachings of our father. Would Zerthraka Gizvarda have wished this for his tribe?
Ah, she's doing the old we don't really have to fight routine, said Laruna, appealing to his better side.
She's doing the old get all of us killed routine, that's what she's doing, said Bert.
The legends and histories are filled with tales of people talking down a foe in an arena or ending a trial by combat by throwing down their arms, said Caitha.
Yes, but if it worked that often, we wouldn't have trials by combat at all, would we? Said Jin.
Aye, there's a reason the old were better than this routine makes history when it works, said Gorm.
Stop!
Darek lashed out with his warhammer, a side blow that caught Ashurzu in the arm. The impact sent her sailing through the air, trailing long silks that rippled like flames after a comet. She crashed into a barrel at the edge of the ring. A cloud of dust and splinters bloomed at the point of impact.
Because we usually ain't, and it usually doesn't, Gorm finished sadly.
Spug, said Bert.
A great cacophony of voices rose from the crowd, though it was impossible to sort the despairing screams from the cheers. But as Ashurzu stirred, the crowd fell silent once more.
Ra Tazo Rug! Tazo Rug!
Notes of desperation rang in Darek's screams.
Dagobola Rarbark Fiba Ragatazo Rug!
He's telling her to stay down. Says he'll show mercy if she does, Bert said.
Well, that's a relief, said Heraldin.
Just to be clear, he's talking about Ashurzu, the kobold said. He's still going to murder us.
Should we help her, then? Asked Jin.
You can't help her now, said Bert. Getting aid would only make her look weak.
Then what do we do? Said Heraldin. Because if this goes bad for her, We're all going to be decorating someone's beard. Gorm took a deep breath.
Hold fast, he said. It's all we can do.
The shattered timbers of the barrel twitched. Splintered planks shifted and fell as Ashurzu pushed herself to her knees. Dark red stains spread slowly across her dress from several points of impact, and she clutched her side as she pushed herself to her feet.
Tazorug! Darek shrieked.
I will not stay down.
Ashurzu trembled with every step, but her voice still reverberated with power and certainty.
I will be chieftain of the Gizvarda. I will lead the Red Horde.
Why do you stand against me?
Said Darek, backing away slowly.
How could you dishonor me so?
I do not stand against you,
Ashurzu yelled, and now there was pleading in her voice as well. She walked toward the chief, her arms held out in supplication.
I stand for our tribe, for our people. If you had taken any other path, I would have followed you to the ends of Arth. If you truly wished to lead, I would have fought for you till my last breath. But a chieftain's beard weighs heavy on you, and you have lent your ear to dogs and snakes.
Be silent!
Shouted Darek, lashing out with his warhammer. It was clearly a half-hearted swing, a slow arc to keep a foe back, but if Ashurzu had the instincts to dodge, she didn't have the energy. The massive hammer caught her leg, spinning her around and bending her knee in the opposite direction. She collapsed with a small cry. Darek looked in horror at his bloodied hammer and backed away.
Dagobola Rarbark Feba,
he said, his voice cracking and choked.
Tazorug!
I will not, Ashurzu snarled.
Slowly, laboriously, the young Orcus pushed herself to her feet. Despite the blood dampening her dress and the useless, broken leg she dragged behind her, Ashurzu's voice was as strong and clear as ever.
I will take this tribe on Father's path, or I will die. You cannot take that from me.
Do not make me do this!
Darek cried.
I cannot make you do anything, my brother. My chieftain, you have a choice. Let me free you from your burden. Let me lead the tribe in the way of Xerthraka Gizvarda. Or kill me and lead the Red Horde in the way of violence and death.
Ashurzu delivered the ultimatum gently, kindly.
But you must choose.
The orc chieftain's face twisted with rage, flushing to a deep brown as he stepped up to her.
Then you bring this upon yourself,
he bellowed, raising his hammer high.
The choice is yours alone.
Ashurzu stood unwavering in the shadow of Darek's weapon.
Whatever you decide, you are my brother, Kibhestzago.
They stood frozen there for a moment, the towering orc holding a hammer high above his sister. The assembled shadowkin waited silently, breathlessly. Gorm couldn't hear anything but the pounding of his own heart. Darek's eyes were the first to change, softening like melting ice, squinting as they welled up with tears. His snarl broke as a ragged sob ripped from his throat. A moment later, the chieftain crumbled like a toppling colossus, his warhammer falling uselessly to the grass as he dropped to his knees.
Don Nubgra, he gasped. Don Nubgra! Make it swift, my sister. End my shame.
Ashurzu stumbled forward wordlessly, hunting knife in hand. She reached under Darek's chin with both hands and made a quick motion. Then she kissed her brother's forehead and whispered something in his ear. He slumped forward, face down in the grass, as she stepped back.
I can't believe that worked, said Bert.
I can't believe she just cut his throat, said Laruna.
She didn't,
Katha shook her head.
Look!
Darek had fallen, but he wasn't still. His shoulders shook and his whole body heaved as he was racked by long, silent sobs. Gorm could see the knife Ashurzu held glittering in the sunlight, still stainless. In her other hand, she held a long tuft of Darek's beard. The severed hairs whipped in a cold wind as she lifted her trophy above her head. She found the strength to raise her voice above the crashing waves once more.
I am Ashurzu Dazgazvarda, daughter of Zerthraka, sister to Char and to Darek, chieftain of the Gazvarda tribe, leader of the Red Horde!
Gorm and his companions' shouts were lost in the roaring of the crowd. Cheers and jeers crashed over Ashurzu as she stood in front of the sea, fists still in the air.
She did it! Gorm cried.
It ain't over yet, said Bert.
Among the cries and shouts, one voice rang higher than the others, shrill to the point of madness.
What is this nonsense?
Screeched an orc, vaulting over the makeshift fence to enter the ring. Gorm recognized the pale wise one in red war paint as former advisor to Darek.
Grignot Gabuckmug,
Ashurzu's voice was shaking as the blood from her wounded side ran down her leg, but she didn't waver as she stared at her new adversary.
Does the blood of the Gazvarda flow so thin?
Snarled Grignot.
Do you really think the Red Horde will follow the likes of you, traitor queen? You are weak, and your path is weaker. I am Grignot Gabuckmug, son of Herdak Gabuckmug, and I challenge you for the right to wield your tribe, and with it, the Red Horde.
Ashurzu stared at him dispassionately.
So be it. I accept your challenge, Grignot Gabuckmug.
She turned to the stunned crowd.
Who will stand for me?
Should we offer to fight? Gorm muttered to Bert.
The tribes would never accept a leader who needed a lightling to fight for him.
Bert pointed at the crowd around them.
Besides, doesn't look like she'll need us.
A huge orcus shouldered her way to the front of the ring.
I am Gizardu, called the Mountain. I would stand for you, Chieftain Ashurzu. As would I, Nibrok of the Gutlab,
shouted a menacing-looking gnoll. Another cry rang out, and then another, and Shadowkin across the beach raised their weapons as they called out pledges of loyalty. Ashurzu smiled at the outpouring of support, but she didn't accept any of the offers. She wobbled on her one good leg, waiting until the shouts faded away, and her would-be champions lowered their weapons. A silence fell over the crowd as a shadow fell over Grignot. Darek Gazvarda cracked his neck as he drew himself to his full height.
I will stand for you, he said levelly.
May you find victory, Darek of the Gazvarda, said Ashurzu.
She touched her brother on the arm as she limped back to the edge of the ring.
And who will stand for me? Asked
Grignot, notes of fear cracking his voice. The crowd was silent as Darek retrieved his warhammer.
Who will stand for our old ways? Who will help me lead us to glory?
Said Grignot. The warriors of the Red Horde watched as Darek approached the center of the ring with the ominous certainty of a storm cloud. The former chieftain was a giant among orcs, the sort that you would follow into any battle solely for the sake of not being in front of him. There's a fine line between martyrdom and suicide, and public opinion clearly held that Grignot was on the wrong side of it.
Is there no one? Nobody?
Desperation crept into Grignot's pleas as his warriors studied the beach and the sky with sudden acute interest.
It appears not,
Ashurzu said to Grignot.
May honor choose the victor.
Come on, said Bert, nudging Gorm. Now it's over, and everyone's going to want to talk with the new chieftain. Let's beat the crowd.
But the duel is just starting, said Gorm.
Maybe, but it's just ending, too, said Bert, and we've got a lot to talk about with her majesticness.
As if to prove the kobold's point, Grignot let out a piercing squeal. The cry was cut off with a sickening crunch, followed by a collective, ooh, as the assembled Shadowkin winced in unison.